Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon, live from Champions Retreat, Monday morning post-Masters. And yes, it is true, Sergio Garcia will never have to answer another question about winning a major championship. This post-Masters podcast is brought to you by OGIO for all your golf bags, backpacks, and much more. Check out OGIO.com. If you're looking for an upgrade in the golf bag department, OGIO makes the finest and most sophisticated array of bags on the market. Never missing a single detail, OGIO bags are beautiful, intelligent, and allow you an advantage on the golf course. That's OGIO.com, O-G-I-O.com. Check out their entire selection. A group of guys joined me. Really a fun week with all of them. We got a chance to cover the Masters together. Kyle Porter, Kevin Van Valkenburgh, Brendan Porath joined me to have kind of a short reaction to just what happened a day ago. I mean, it was remarkable. I mean, as I've said, and I'll say this throughout the podcast here today, I'm not sure any of us really ever thought it was going to happen for Sergio Garcia. I really don't think we thought so. So a fun way to watch. Justin Rose was in control of the Masters. Ricky Fowler was there. Jordan Spieth was there. I think the fireworks were duds early, you know, and we were hoping for so many different things to happen and nothing happened, but it felt a little bit like the PGA Championship last year. The fireworks came so late, and the moment they did, they were huge and awesome and fun. So a great Masters, a big win for Sergio Garcia, really a big win for golf as we start the major season. I know when we look at the guys we hoped would win, Sergio was atop that list. So fun to see him do it. We will have plenty more Clubhouse podcasts this week with some different people, some people that played in the Masters. So stay tuned. But I wanted to get something up Monday morning for you. So here we go, a reaction to the 2017 Masters with a group of guys here from Champions Retreat. All right, we welcome you guys into a makeshift post-Masters Clubhouse episode. Kevin Van Valkenburgh and Kyle Porter here. We're at Champions Retreat in Augusta, Georgia. Kyle, preparing for the round of his life, after watching the round of his life, and guys, Sergio Garcia, now a Masters champion, which is still kind of weird to say.
Yeah, I woke up this morning, and I didn't know whether to be more surprised that I'm playing against the National or that Sergio Garcia just won the Masters. I mean, I think Solly said it best. He said, Sergio's down two on 13 in the woods, Rose is in the fairway, Sergio wins the Masters. Yeah. It's so improbable.
Yeah, and Kev, you made a great point, and we'll get to all of this, but just looking back kind of, you know, from 1,000 feet of yesterday, you had an interesting take on what Justin Rose did to allow all of this to happen for Sergio. We're all focused on Sergio right now, but of course, what Rose did, pretty not Rose-like.
Yeah, you tend to think of Rose like a machine and Sergio like this sort of wild artist. And actually, like, as it came down, it was almost the opposite. Like, Rose flies the green on 13 with a, what, 7-iron, 8-iron, and doesn't make a birdie there. Hits a middling shot on 14, makes a par, Sergio makes birdie. Hits a, you know, doesn't have any chance at eagle on 15. Hits a, you know, really good shot on 16, but then hits a bad shot on 17. It's a bad shot on 18 in the playoff. It was not the Justin Rose I sort of expected to close down the stretch.
Well, and I just feel like the way he was hitting the golf ball through the opening part of that round, I mean, he was hitting fairways as he does. He was hitting iron shots in the middle of the greens. He was putting well most of the week, really, after that opening round. I mean, Justin Rose, if anything, is relentless on the golf course. And it was, I would say, kind of strange to see him play loose. I mean, the Masters does goofy stuff to a lot of people. Kyle, you were out there. You followed this group the entire day. Was there any moment you thought Sergio was actually going to win?
I thought after the shot he hit on 15. I mean, 15 was awesome. We're standing up there on the hill, and I think it's the coolest spot to watch a shot on the course. The sun's setting. Sergio just hits this money shot that you can't really tell where it goes when you're up there, but we found out later, I guess it did it graze the pin?
Yeah, dinked the stick.
Yeah.
Almost dunked it. And then it kissed the pin. And then it went just a little bit left of it. And 8 feet.
But everybody in the grandstands, they just lost their minds. And so you knew it was close. And I thought when he hit that shot, because I had told the guys earlier, I said, but Sergio's probably going to go like birdie, eagle, birdie here. And then he goes birdie, eagle. Should have gone birdie at 16, it doesn't. And then you're like, well, he's going to lose it. So it was, I thought it was emblematic of his entire career and how up and down it was, how many putts he missed at the wrong time, but then how many money shots he hit when he had to hit them.
And Brennan Porath from SB Nation just joined us. He had to go get coffee. So nice of you to show up. But, you know, something that I think a lot of us probably have batted around numerous times in articles and talking and discussions with friends is Sergio ever going to really do this? And when he hit the shot on 18 and Rose misses that putt, which I think we all thought Rose was going to make. And I mean, you know, I wrote good, good. Just pick him up. Let's go. Rose did a good putt. Sergio has a 5-footer to win the Masters. And really, Brennan, I would say maybe the easiest 5-footer you could have in those circumstances on that green, and it doesn't hit the hole. And the moment that happened, I think collectively it was a group of us going, all right, well, that's probably that. Rose is probably going to take this thing.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Well, I guess not surprised, but it was illuminating to hear Sergio after the round say how comfortable he is in playoffs now, because I think we were all the very much the opposite after missing that putt. It's like, oh, once it goes to the playoff, I'm, you know, I'm very comfortable in playoffs now. So I don't think we were watching him after that putt in regulation on 18. And like with Kyle saying he thought he was going to win at 15, it felt different. You know, once he got that going on 14, got the momentum, saved the par on 13, it felt different. But I couldn't say, like, I always felt like he was going to win it all the way to the end. Because you had that 16 interlude there where he babies the 4-footer and it just doesn't even come close to the hole and Rose goes up. So I think he was striping it as always. Like, every ball was in perfectly in the middle. And, you know, every approach shot was on top of the flag. But that putt at 16, like, kind of gave you pause. Like, yeah, it feels different, but he's still even one behind. Like, is this really going to happen?
Well, we all followed him for some point of the round. So I just wanted to go around and say, you know, Kyle, you asked Sergio last night the kind of the golf shot that he'll remember, the golf shot that kind of turned his round around. And of course, Sergio didn't really give you much of an answer. But is there a golf shot? Kev, I'll start with you. Is there a golf shot from yesterday's round, really from any player, that sticks out in your mind, the one that's going to kind of carry you through to the next Masters and the Masters after that when you think of 17?
I think the putt that Sergio made on 13. I mean, Rose basically said, you know, if he doesn't make that putt, I'm looking at Justin, you know.
I like how we're all doing accents.
I'm looking at Thomas Peters and Matt Kuchar next. And, you know, he's like,
he did. That was crazy.
That's so insane. Like, he said, it's essentially, if Sergio doesn't make that putt, I'm going to make mine and it's over. It's over. And Sergio railed that putt. It was just, even to be able to hit a pitch out of the bushes there to get it down where you can hit another pitch. Those are two, like, shots. You know, I stand there, I'm looking at Sergio's shoulders sort of slumping. I'm thinking, yeah, it's done. That's over.
And Porter, I'm assuming yours was the shot of 15.
Yeah, you left.
We had to leave. We were cooling that guy off. We show up at 8.
I'm the cooler.
Yeah.
All right. If I had stayed out there, we would have been like Spieth Redux.
But I mean, we showed up at 8, and I mean, we were standing there when he had pulled that goofy 3-wood. He hit the bump and run with the 3-wood, and I think we were all. Yeah. I was not happy about that.
Bacon was pacing about this.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, again, like, so many times we see guys almost outthink themselves. You know, I mean, he plays the 8th perfectly. He's right in front of the green. It's like, put it up there, short of the hole, knock it in for 4. And, I mean, he was leading the Masters, you know, and he does that. Rose kind of makes that squirrely little birdie putt that just limps in the hole. And, I mean, after that, to me, after that, it was over for Sergio. You said 15, Porath. Do you have kind of a moment or a shot that, in your opinion, that just really sticks out from one that either won the Masters for Sergio or lost it for somebody else?
I don't know if it was a shot so much, and I wrote this kind of became the hook for my piece, which went up this morning, is he went on 14 after he saves par. He ducked under the rope line and went to take a beat.
Went to rest.
Relieved himself. You know, if we want to get flowery about it, he relieved himself of all the 73 prior majors, you know, the drama, you know, baggage. But he went under the rope line, came back, and never hit another bad shot. He had that one bad stroke, but he never made another bad swing. So that kind of stuck out in my mind. He disappeared in the pines, came back. Rose was kind of throwing grass in the air, trying to figure out the wind on 14. It took him a while. They were taking forever. They were like 2 holes behind Spieth and Fowler.
So 2 holes behind Spieth.
I know. And that was by like 11. It was crazy. Like, there was no one on Amen Corner. And then they were just playing. you know, they were already off the 13th tee, Spieth.
By the way, since I'm officially the cooler, if Phil ever posts like the lead in the US Open, he should hire me to run out of the media center to follow whoever is trying to catch him.
Yeah, Justin Rose is leading Aaron Hills and you just go caddy for him.
Yeah,
I think Fowler was back in Jupiler before
they got done.
Yeah,
they were so far behind that, like on 18, there was a big roar up on the green. It was like, oh, that's just because they're changing the scoreboard because it's now tied because Spieth and Fowler have been done for 25 minutes.
That was crazy.
So, but yeah, 14, that was it because he came back from the ropes, stepped up, hit a quick 9-iron 150 after Rose was futzing around like throwing grass trying to figure out. And then he just stalks it into the flag, makes birdie, Rose is short. Like that approach, shot at 14.
Can we talk about the two shots on 18? I mean, he went after it both times.
Yeah, great drive. Perfect drives. I mean, this was a hole they lengthened to avoid those guys cutting the corner. And Sergio had wedge and 9-iron in his last two shots. I mean, it's turned into, again, 145-yard second shot.
You and I are standing just right of 18.
Well, let's paint that picture. Okay. We're the two dumbest journalists at Augusta National.
Better get to 10. That's where the playoffs start.
Didn't know where the playoffs started. We rush out to the 10th hole, and we think we are the smartest two guys. We're looking at 10, and then at one point realize all the patrons are looking at 18, and so you went over kind of humbly and asked.
Yeah, so we finally figure out, okay, it's 13. We stand down there. We can't really see the tee shots, but we see a ball banging in the woods. And what did you say to me? Well, Sergio, he's done.
Yeah, I had to think it was Sergio.
There's no way I ever would have thought it was Rose.
Yeah, Rose was hitting the driver great. He was hitting the ball great. So we've talked about Sergio, and I mean, there's plenty more we can discuss about Sergio Garcia and winning the Masters and winning a major and doing it in this kind of fashion. I mean, he didn't need to make birdie in a playoff, but he did. I mean, that's pretty remarkable, really. I wanted to ask and go around and just ask you if there's which player, considering how busy this leaderboard was after 54 holes, which player will leave Augusta National or left Augusta National the most disappointed without the green jacket?
Most disappointed, I would say I'm going to go Rory. Unfortunately, yet again, we have a Masters where Rory just kind of struggles with distance and struggle with his irons. He's absolutely nutting the ball off the tee, putting himself in position A so many times. This is a place where there's not, you know, rough, there's second cut. And so he should be able to hit to the middle of greens, you know, even like give himself a chance at some of them. And he's hitting it, you know, 375 on 13 on Saturday and misses the green entirely. And same thing with 15. Like, at some point, it's got to drive him crazy that he is made for this place and can't figure it out.
It was a travesty.
Oh, my God.
A travesty!
The wedge into 13 was just...
Oh,
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I know he said he had a bad number, but... 160.
Yeah, I mean, there's not. I hate the bad number thing. I mean, you know, we all, you know, like Rory and appreciate Rory as a guy, but I mean, bad numbers aren't, to me, not really a thing. I mean, you hit the golf shot, the number that's there. And I mean, if you're flying the green at 13 with a 9-iron or a wedge, you know, it's not a good golf shot. It's just not. I mean, if you fly with a 4-iron, that's one thing.
So when you do that today at Augusta, can you tell your
I was going to ask, do you think they'll lengthen the tees to keep me from cutting the corner?
I think that'd be a smart move, personally. Poirot, do you have somebody that you think is leaving, you know, this Masters the most disappointed with a chance to win this thing?
Charles Schwartzel. Seems really like... kind of guy beats himself up, you know. Just seems like a really emotional cat, you know. No, I mean, I was going to say Rory, I thought. You know, again, he said after the round, though, this is a transitional time. He's encouraged because he didn't shoot like the 75, 77. It was all like within, you know, one over, one under, and then 69.
That's
76.
Here's my thing with Ricky. He didn't hit it well this week at all. He was number, for all the people out there, putting wins the Masters, he was number one in strokes gained putting this week. Finished T11.
Right. Is there a bigger myth than putting wins the Masters?
No.
Lee Westwood has what, like
58 top
10s in the last 11 years?
Adam Scott tied for 9th. Adam Scott's the previous master winner. I'm obviously not a good putter.
Adam Scott this year, he had 18 putts between 5 and 10 feet. He missed 9 of them.
Right. I mean, it's unbelievable. Matsuyama is a guy that famously not a good putter. Third straight top 10. I mean, it might have been a back door. We haven't. I mean, Matt Kuchar's a great putter, and he plays well here, and he had kind of an amazing run there at the end. But, I feel like the winners don't really ever make that much sense. It's just simply getting the ball close and having, hoping the ball kind of limp in. Bubba's won here twice. I mean, if there's ever a case of somebody that doesn't really roll the ball very well.
I don't think Fowler can be disappointed because he didn't really have his stuff. Like, I thought he kind of played well to finish in the top. I mean, he didn't on Sunday, obviously, but to be in the second to last group without really hitting it that good.
How much speed? We haven't even talked about speed.
Well, I mean,
did 75 twice.
But can you? I think in a way you have to think we saw this coming. I mean, you're not finishing first or second in the Masters every time.
He got himself in position. That's what sort of like he came all the way back from that ugly Thursday, you know, hole, and to sort of then go backwards, I thought just surprised me. I mean, I basically wrote a piece being like, you might as well anoint him now.
We all did.
but I mean, with him, and I got vaporized for this take on Sunday morning, but he just ran out of gas. Like, I think it just takes so much. I think Friday afternoon, second nine, took a lot out of him.
Yeah.
Like, shooting that 33 to get kind of back in it, I just thought he was on empty by Sunday.
Well, speaking of empty, I mean, I wrote, Golf.com asked, you know, the disappointing question, and I said Phil Mickelson, the most disappointed. I mean, Phil was in there on Friday. He was in there again on Saturday. I mean, he's paired with Jordan Spieth. He birdies one, he birdies two. We were out there following him. The crowds were as big as that Tiger Phil Perry we saw years ago on Sunday. I mean, they were there to watch those two guys, you know, give us fireworks, and Jordan did it. It looked like Phil was going to, and then Phil plays the third as poorly as you can play. It makes that double bogey, and I really never really recovered. But, you know, Phil's not going to have a ton of chances to win this thing again. He was right in there going into the third round, starts birdie-birdie, and it looked like he was going to give himself a really good chance to win a fourth.
Legitimately, how many chances does Phil have left?
I think
he's 40, he was 46 this year.
Speaking of E, you know, like, he's the guy who
looked tired. He starts tired.
Flubs that wedge on three, and then, you know, he makes birdie-birdie on Saturday, and then three just implodes. It's like never.
Does he have five chances left? Does he have...
No, well, here's the thing.
I mean, Freddie was in it this year.
I think
he's 10 years older than Phil.
I'm glad you brought that up. I think Phil's got 15 chances left. It's just a matter of
61.
It's a matter of whether he can like complete four rounds.
Right.
Like it's not chance. Like, I think he'll be there. I just don't know. Like, does the temperature have to be like 68 every day and like no wind for him? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I don't know if physically he can continue to do
it. Well, see, you plot it on a graph, like Phil's talent versus how much time he's got left, like, you know, and his stamina. Like, that's a real legitimate thing. Like, you know, it's like Freddie's back going to hold up? Is Phil's, like, stamina going to be able to hold up to concentrate and hit enough shots at 56, you know? I don't know. I think legitimately he probably has, like, three or four chances left. And you could maybe see Phil get into the mix at 52, 54. But I think anything beyond 50, we're starting to get into dreaming.
Bacon gave him two more jackets and a U.S. Open.
He's going three more majors.
Seven majors.
Yeah, I mean,
eight.
I would be surprised if Phil didn't win out of the Masters. But I mean, I've been saying
posts.
Well, I mean, I've picked Phil to win the Masters the last 2 years. I really thought he had a good shot. And like I said, it looked like for two rounds, you know, he was going to be in the conversation. I think the last year and a half, when Phil's run out of gas, he runs out of gas, and it goes E quickly. And we see it late on Sundays. We see it at Ramp Tour. We saw it at Waste Management this year. You know, when it goes south,
Tory,
he is done.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I also think there's a level of interest. I mean, Jordan Spieth said it. Jordan Spieth's 23. Spieth said, if I finish 5th or 13th, who cares if I don't win? I think that's kind of Phil's, you know, thought process as well. But, you know, we are kind of running against the clock. So I wanted to ask, you know, takeaway-wise, you know, Is there one thing that sticks out in your mind? Is it Sergio? Is it all going to be Sergio? When you think 5 years from now, you're looking back at the 2017 Masters, what really is the thing you think is going to stick out in your mind? KVD?
I guess I would go, honestly, and maybe we haven't talked about this at all, even like last night, but I think maybe playing with Justin Rose kind of helped Sergio a little bit. So that moment when they both flag it on 16 and like they reach back and they high five as they're sort of walking up a thing. Like, if someone was being, like, really, if Tiger was sort of there and doing the same thing and being really steely, and, like, that's always what kind of unnerved Sergio is. Like, he wanted to be friends with the guy. Deep down, he wanted to be friends with Tiger. He didn't want to, like, have a feud with Tiger. He wanted Tiger to like him. And so the fact that Rose was kind of there, like, still hitting a lot of good golf shots at him, but I think that made Sergio just comfortable enough to get over this sort of hump.
I think for me, it's just Sergio. His press conference last night was so interesting because he just seemed so like it's almost like the people who rooted for him needed the major more than he did. Like his career to him seems valid.
Right.
And I brought this up in my piece, but like if Rose makes the putt on 18 in regulation, Sergio doesn't win the Masters and might never win a major. Is he any different of a player? Not really. And like that's how thin the line is between winning major championships. Sergio really hasn't had that many great chances at winning majors. 07 Open and like maybe one or two others. And he closed out this one. So I don't know. To me, it's kind of a rubber stamp on his resume. For people that maybe kind of follow golf tangentially or don't really know how good of a player he actually
Sergio
is.
Sergio had lost this Masters because Rose got that garbage kick towards the pin. That would have been the most Sergio thing of all time. That was a horrid shot.
I still have not seen the kick.
Oh my goodness. Trampoline
shot. It should have been in the bunker, essentially. I mean, it was like essentially the shot that Norman hit, but with different clubs. It just kicked like hard left and then settled to the pin.
Okay. Yeah, it was nice. It was a nice thing for us. So
the thing will stick with me is like that patented Sergio like fist pump.
Yeah.
And Kyle and I were talking about on 14 was the first time we really saw it. Just like the crouch fist pump and like, you know, goes points at the grandstand with the pump. Like we're used to that so many times being like a punch in the stomach because we're rooting for against him in the Ryder Cup. And he just had the entire crowd on his side yesterday. And it felt cool to pull for those fist pumps. And then obviously at 14, he did it kind of with a glare like that. Vamos, come on. And then, you know, 2 hours later on 18, it's with this enormous grin. And I don't know, it was pretty emotional being out there. The like relief after that tense, like last 2 hours, the fist pump with a huge smile and like going to the turf was really cool.
I like that Porter says what he's going to remember is this and that. You know what you're going to remember from 2017 Masters, you liar.
Yeah, shooting a 108 on Monday.
Well, guys, I appreciate the time. We will have more Masters reactions and such throughout the week, but I wanted to get something up. Because it's obviously fresh in our minds, and we were excited to be there, see, you know, in a way, history, see Sergio Garcia do something that I would say, like I said, I think a lot of people probably thought was not going to happen again.
So let's all pull for Kyle Porter to shoot a low score. He's looking fit this morning. We had some egg whites and some broccoli, and he's going to feel the stamina late that young Phil Mickelson did not.
Kyle, do us all a favor and enjoy every set. It's going to be awesome.
Well, that will do it for this Clubhouse podcast. A reminder, make sure you check out OGIO.com. All your golf bag needs, all your backpack needs, much, much more. OGIO.com. If you're looking for an upgrade in the golf bag department, OGIO makes the finest and smartest bags on the market. Never missing a single detail. They're great. They're beautiful. They're cool. They will make you play better golf. That's true. That's just a fact. You'll play better golf with these golf bags that you have. Check it out, OGIO.com. Many thanks to my guys. A great week. I hope everybody had fun watching, following along on social, and being a part of history, really, as we saw Sergio Garcia win the Masters. As I said, we'll have more podcasts to come throughout the week, so make sure you check back. Hope you guys have a great week, and I hope you're not too sad that the azaleas and the pimento cheese sandwiches are done for a year.